Okay, we are at the Fowler Branch Library in West Concord. First time for us, and that's great. Today's the 11th of July. I'm Carrie Klein, here with my husband and partner, Michael Klein. And would you introduce yourself? Say my name is?
My name is Laurie Baker.
Once more, please.
Laurie Baker.
Okay, my name is?
My name is Laurie Baker.
Great. And your date of birth, for some perspective?
I was born in November 6, 1976.
Tell us about your people and where you were raised.
I was born and raised here in Concord. I've lived here pretty much all my life, except for about 4 years when I was traveling around playing hockey with the national team. And I live here with my family. My parents still live here as well. I have two kids, a 9-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son, and my husband. And like I said, my parents are here as well. And I have an older brother and his family who are in town.
Great. Well, talk about the people that were around you when you were young and the places that you frequented.
Mm-hmm. I was, you know, like I said, born and raised here. I you know, pretty much stayed here and through athletics. You know, it was here. The rink was down the street. And so I had a lot of influence. My older brother played hockey. And my father here at the high school in Concord.
And his name?
So David Baker. And, you know, I just sort of fell into that athletic realm between my father and my brother, sort of being dragged to different, you know, fields and rinks and whatnot. So that's how I sort of got started. And beyond that, just traveling as a young child, we would go. We have a family place up in Maine. And then other than that, it was pretty much traveling around for, athletic events, between myself or my brother. So.
Talk about the Concord of your childhood.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, even I look back at my childhood and, you know, to be able to still be here in Concord, is really something I cherish. Just such a great, amazing town. I never wanted to leave. So, like I said, I'm glad, I'm happy to be here still. But just, you know, the school systems, the people, the small town feel, sort of, you know, outside of Boston, but easy to get to. It's just been great. And the support I've had, you know, throughout my career and, you know, after getting to the Olympics, and the people here have been amazing. So I'm glad to still be here. To have be able to raise my children here, for them to go to the schools, to experience, you know, the history and the atmosphere, the small knit community. I'm happy that they're able to experience the same thing that I have been able to.
Uh-huh. Take us a little bit on your path, then maybe winding up back here.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, as a small child, I, you know, grew up, you know, with athletics and being here and, you know, moving on to, I did leave the high school here in Concord to attend private school out in Groton, Mass. At Lawrence Academy for the last 2 years of my high school career.
Due to athletics?
No, it was more an academic situation where I felt like I was going to get a little bit more support that I needed at the private school. The athletics did help because they did have ice hockey, which the public schools did not have girls ice hockey at the time. So it was, you know, it was best of both worlds, I guess, moving over to the private school for my last 2 years. And then after that, after I graduated, I went on to Providence College. So I moved to Rhode Island for college, which was great, great experience. Loved the college and everything about it. And then, you know, traveled around with my hockey career.
The college again was?
Providence College.
In Rhode Island?
In Rhode Island, yep.
So moving to a good-sized city then?
Yeah. I lived on campus, so it was great. It was sort of, you know, again, I chose Providence because it felt like I was here in Concord. It was a very small small community, not a very, you know, not a large student population, and it felt like home. It felt like being here. Even though it was a city, the campus was very contained within the city. So it felt like a Concord to me. So then just traveling around, traveled to different countries, and obviously the hockey led me to be able to do that. Finland, Sweden, China, Japan. So some great experiences, being able to travel around to some different places and have those different experiences. And then after my playing days, I knew I wanted to settle back here in the area and hopefully in Concord. I went back to Lawrence Academy as a faculty member. So I worked in the athletic office, and I coached three sports, three girls' sports, soccer, hockey, and golf. And
of your choosing?
A little bit, yeah. They'd asked me. I was primarily there to coach the hockey, but I threw in the other sports that I was familiar with, you know, just to be able to help out and to sort of give the girls, you know, some of the stuff that I knew and my experiences. So that was great. And then, to be honest, wasn't looking, you know, obviously always looking to come back to Concord. But it wasn't the right time. And but then a couple years later, you know, a house popped up in Concord, and I was able to buy it. And so here I am. So that was about 10 years ago. And I don't see myself going too far. You know, I like Concord.
Why?
Like I said, just the close community. My family's here. I just think it's such a lovely place. And it's, like I said, really want my children to have the same experience growing up in such a great community with great schools. And it's just a comfortable feel. The downtown, the two downtowns, I should say, the West Concord and Concord. You know, they're different in ways. But it's just great to be able to go to either and show the kids, you know, so when I was a kid, you know, this is what I used to do. I lived here in West Concord. So this was actually the spot that I came to. Now I live on the other side, outside of Concord Center. But to relive those memories with my kids, and say, oh, this has changed and this is the same, or this is how I used to, you know, ride my bike here, and, you know, I'd come right by here, right to the downtown. So it's fun.
I'd love to hear what you did do as a kid and how Concord has changed.
Yeah. As a kid, I was, you know, jumping around. I think times have changed where, you know, you can't leave your kids out to do what I was doing. I was riding my bike downtown. I was constantly playing sports. I was following my older brother around, trying to get into his sporting events with his friends, which I think really helped me in the avenue that I took on. And in terms of changing, I just think, you know, Concord's really been built up in terms of, you know, the stores, the storefronts, the, you know, working people who, you know, who are in those stores. And I love to support them. I do most of my shopping here in Concord. In terms of, you know, birthday gifts and that type of stuff, that, you know, you have these local shops, and I think, you know, I really like to support them. So you're just, you know, more growth within the town, within the shops, you know, and like I said, the school systems I don't think have really changed. I think they've you know, rebuilt some of the schools, so that's changed. but I think on a whole, you know, the feel of Concord is the same. It's the surroundings have changed a little bit.
Do people recognize you when you go into the store?
not really, no. I mean, if they know me, they obviously do, but no. If they don't know me, they don't recognize me. I like to kind of stay under the radar as well. That's sort of my personality.
Really?
It is, yeah. Yeah, surprisingly. Yeah.
I'd love to hear about your first experience on the ring.
On the rink. Well, I started as a figure skater. I probably was age of 5 years old when my parents bought me the figure skates, and I learned how to skate and took some classes, and, you know, was working my way up, you know, getting some patches, you know, through the figure skating realm.
Patches?
Yeah, like, you know, like skill level patches that you would get. But like I said, you know, being dragged to the rink and to the fields, I just grew to love hockey through my father playing, but my brother, you know, being able to watch him and you know, every weekend being, you know, at the rinks with him. So.
And his name?
His name is David as well. It's the same as my father. And, you know, the hockey just, you know, stuck with me. And it just, you know, street hockey and out in the yard. You know, I finally said to my parents, you know, they asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I said I wanted a pair of the black skates. So sure enough, come the Christmas, I did get the black skates. And then, so I was probably about 7 at that time.
The
black skates, the hockey skates. Yep. No more white skates.
Meaning where you're changing your sport?
I was changing my sport, yeah. So I took up hockey and, you know, went through the ranks. It was a, you know, something that's changed is obviously how, you know, the opportunity for girls and women to play hockey. So when I started, there was no girls teams for my age. It started at age 12. And very lucky here in town to have a huge supporter of women's sports and women's hockey and girls' hockey is Carl Gray, who lives in town here. He's still working at the rink, and he has a program called Assabet Valley. And so Assabet Valley.
Can you spell Carl? There are two different ways to spell Carl.
It's C-A-R-L, okay. And it's G-R-A-Y. And so he started a girls' program here. I'm not sure how many years before I was playing, but it was pretty well established when I started playing. So I was 8, and the youngest girls' team were 12-year-olds. So when I was more proficient with my skating, with the hockey skates, he was gracious enough to let me go out and practice with the older girls just to get the feel of it and, you know, just to get involved and be there at the rink. And, you know, when I felt confident enough, I decided, because they didn't have a girls' team at my age, I played with the boys, which a lot of girls my age and before me, that's how we grew up playing, was with the boys, because that's the only teams that were available. So I played with the boys 8, 9, 10 years old until I was a little bit older, and I could play on that U-12 team with the all-girls. So I did both for a long time. By that time, I was playing on 2 teams, sometimes 3 teams, depending.
What were the differences playing with the boys or the girls?
Well, the boys, we actually, there was checking at that age, which they don't no longer do that now.
I'm sorry, I don't even.
Body checking. Yeah, so body checking, where they could hit you into the boards, or we could hit each other into the boards, I should say. And the girls' game, there was no checking, no body checking, but it was based more on skill. So a lot more skating and skill work. And so those are differences. I think they both had a huge impact on my career because one, you know, playing with the boys and experiencing the sort of the rougher aspects of the game, and then two, being able to, you know, not have that with the girls, but work on more of your skill. So those two things, I could mesh together.
Your
skill work, your stick handling, your shooting, your eye for the game. You know, being able to see your teammates and make good passes and that sort of stuff. So those two came together, and I feel like I became a more complete player because of that.
I'd love to hear more about Carl Gray, too.
Carl, yeah. Carl was just, he had 2 or 3 daughters, had a son, and I'm not sure exactly how he got into this whole realm of the girls and women's hockey, but he's wholeheartedly into it. He's still into it. I want to say he's probably in his late 70s. Yeah, probably late 70s, so he's still up at the rink and just providing, you know, a great opportunity for girls and women to play hockey like he did back when I was playing. And big supporter. He's had some really great players come through his program. He still does, probably even more so now than when I was playing. You know, heading to Division I colleges and making a national or Olympic team. He has had quite a few players go on to do some really great things with some different teams.
He's had other Olympians?
Oh, yeah.
From Concord?
I'm not sure. Well, yeah, I should say. He has. He has. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, not from Concord, but on his team. So the girls that play on that team come from everywhere. They're not just from Concord. I should have maybe have said that. They come from all over. Sometimes as far away as Connecticut. Sometimes they fly in for the weekend to play. So he has girls coming from all over, pretty much the United States. You know, probably the Midwest to the East, coming to play for his program
here in Concord.
Here in Concord. Yep.
What an amazing feature for a small town.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, he's still doing it. Yep. That's amazing.
Something about the sport really gripped you then from the black skates.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was the speed, like I said, the skill. It's just something about the sport that, you know, really drew me to it. And I would say it's, you know, the competitiveness, I think, maybe. As much as I am sort of, you know, humble and sort of, you know, don't come across as that type of aggressive person, I think deep down I really like competitiveness and being a competitor and winning.
Of course, figure skating would have enabled you to be a single or a duo victor, and instead you chose a team sport.
Yes, I never did an individual sport, and I think I really like that team aspect. Being around others who love the sport, who are competitors, meeting new people and working towards a common goal is always something that I have really taken in, especially, you know, through the National Olympic team. It really brought that team aspect, you know, to a fruition in terms of like being able to see like this is really like a team, and it's you know, people who have a similar interest and have a common goal, which you don't get a lot. People seem to have their own goals, which everybody does, and you know, as on a team you have your own goals. But I think the bigger piece of it is that when you're on a team, you have it's one goal.
Almost one body, in a sense.
Yeah, it is. I look back to in 1998 at the first Olympics for women's hockey, and our team was sort of that one body. We became the one body. And I'm not sure, you know, I went on and played in the 2002 Olympics as well in Salt Lake City, and I don't feel like our team was one body. And that year we obtained the silver medal. And I look back and I say, you know, thinking to myself, you know, the differences with team and how the 98 team was different from the 2002 team, even with some of the same players on it. That was very interesting.
Talk about that. Everything you can remember about Seoul and 98.
Well, it's Japan. It was in Japan. Yep. Nagano. Yep. I don't know. Like I said, it was Japan was, like I said, it was our team. We felt like it was one body. We all had a common goal. We were all in it together. We all knew what that goal was. We were on the same page about how to obtain it. And to, you know, be selfless and to you put everything out there for your team and for your country. Ultimately, we knew that it was for the country as well. So, and then, you know, to look back in 2002, I think being here in the United States, was hard. It was a real big challenge in terms of, the comfort level of being able to do different things and know you are and feel comfortable, sort of a distraction. And I think a lot of that, you know, a lot of stuff leading up to those games was difficult. It was difficult. We had some different players who hadn't experienced winning a gold medal before. And we had some younger players, than we had had on the 98 team. And it just didn't come together as we had hoped. We had a great team. We probably had a better skilled team in 2002 than we did in 98. But again, we just didn't come together, I think, as we had hoped to reach that common goal.
I can't imagine either the joy or the disappointment. Is that the word you use?
It is. You want to be joyed because it's such a, even a silver or a bronze medal is, you know, is great, is an accomplishment. But you also do have a sort of a level of defeat because you've worked so hard for so many years for this and for your country. And the hours you put in, the hard work you put in, the traveling you put in, the sacrifices, you know, you wanna come out on top.
What are the sacrifices?
Well, I think as you go through your career, you have different sacrifices. But you know, at the younger ages, it's, you know, not being able to go to the movies on Friday nights because you have practice, or being able to go to the football game with your friends because you have practice. You know, at the younger ages, more that social piece. I think as you get older and, you know, you're after college and you're at that age where you could be working a full-time job and making an income, you sacrifice to not do those things and to figure out how to live on, you know, not a large income, and to just dedicate your day to just training and to, you know, whether it be, you know, the actual physical part of practicing the sport or the, you know, off ice, so to speak, that we call off ice regimen, which includes being in the gym and weightlifting and cardio, to, you know, again, missing out on maybe going out with friends or going out to dinner with friends or being with your family or missing maybe a family event. You know, those are the sacrifices that you have to make.
And then ultimately you get to, you're working with your team, and then you arrive in a foreign country with a completely different culture in mm-hmm. many cases. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, yeah, so you add that to, you know, the other stuff that you're trying, your goals, and then you're not in a place that's comfortable, and then so you're navigating that. But again, I think our team did that wonderfully in 1998 in terms of, you know, okay, we're here together, and we'll navigate together, and we'll figure out what we're going to eat, and we'll figure out, you know, how to get around, and, you know, we'll figure out, you know, the jet lag and when we should go to bed, and, you know, to make sure that our bodies are prepared to play and to give it our best.
Can you tell me about some of the different members of this body from the 98 mm-hmm. team, mm-hmm. everyone's roles and personalities?
Yeah, well, we had a pretty broad range. I want to say our oldest player was probably in late 20s. Our youngest was 17. So we had a pretty big age range. I think half of the girls were from the East Coast, or probably a little bit more than half were from the East Coast. We had players from California, Michigan, you know, some different places, some different states, which was great. And personalities all different, from quiet and soft-spoken to loud and crazy, and everything in between. And I think that's what made us, you know, so special and be able to work together, is that you had different personalities, and being able to get all those personalities to do and to focus on that one common goal. But everybody was really persistent. That was the objective of the whole the whole process. And, you know, to this day, I still am in contact with my teammates. A lot of them still actually live in the area, so we try to get together, you know, to chat and meet families and stay in touch and relive memories.
So you have fun. Reunions?
We do. Yeah, we do. We had a 10-year reunion, and so our 20th will be coming up another year or two. So we're hoping to get everybody together for that.
From the 98?
From the 98 team, yeah.
You do that with other years too?
No. The 2002 team, we haven't done a reunion.
What position were you?
I played forward, the forward position, primarily the center. So it was a good for me in terms of, like I said, the skill and being able to like be free. The center position, you can be a lot freer on the ice, and go sort of in different areas as opposed to, you know, you have more responsibility on the ice when you're on, I should say different responsibilities, but that are more flexible and open, where some of the other positions are, you know, this is where you need to be, and this is on different situations here, you know, you need to be stamped, be here. And so it was a lot more freer, which allowed more creativity, I think.
That's always been your position?
For the most part, that's been my position, yes. Yeah. I tried a few of the others, which is great. I always tell kids nowadays who play, you know, any sport, including my own daughter, play all the positions, because you get a different perspective on the game from different positions.
Your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
My daughter's name is Carly. Yep.
Okay, and you mentioned ages before. Remind me.
Carly's 9, and I have a 3-year-old son named Ryan.
So Carly's playing sports?
She is, yep. She plays quite a few sports. She does soccer, hockey, basketball, and lacrosse right now. She's trying to figure out which one she'll stick with. But, yeah, she loves sports. And is every day of the week we have something.
Has that been going on for a while?
It's starting to pick up. Yeah, in the last year or so, a lot more traveling with different teams and not just staying in town, but now traveling outside of town to play some other towns within the sports.
Let's come back to that. I just want to hear about coming home and that, mm-hmm. the transition from forward center Olympic ice hockey
mm-hmm.
to coming home.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after winning a gold medal, you know, everybody's like, oh, when you get home, and you don't know what to expect, because before, when you came home, you were just, you know, an everyday person and in town, and you did your thing. And but coming home was interesting. It was, you know, to really see the support that I was receiving, you know, from being afar, you know, for 9 months that I was traveling. I didn't get back here much to see the support, but there was a banner in town. There was a parade set up. There was some really great things. A dinner event that was set up when I got back. So just to be able to come back and see the support that Concord did recognize and was rooting for me was really special to see. And it for a while changed life a little bit, where you were, like you said, when you did walk into a place, people would probably recognize me. Nowadays, no, but, you know, so it was the support, really being able to see the town support of my journey was great to see.
I literally cannot imagine, you know, coming off of the ice and just being a townsperson and
mm-hmm.
the change in your own mm-hmm. goals, because
mm-hmm.
you had been so singly focused.
Right. Yeah. Again, it was just good to be. It was good to be home. It was good to see people, because you don't get to see a lot of that when you're training and working hard and traveling and living out of a suitcase and being away from home. So it was a different focus, but it was sort of the celebration part of the journey, which was great. It was a big relief, obviously, to do what we did and then come home and be able to celebrate that with people here in town.
And when was that then?
1998.
Oh, in 98 you're talking about, the first return.
Exactly, yeah. Yep.
But then you went off again and kept training.
Went off again, kept training, and didn't get the same reception the second time. But that, I think that was expected. Whereas, like we talked about before, you know, even winning a silver and a bronze medal is a great accomplishment. But it's really, it's not like winning the gold. You know, the gold really just puts, I guess, the icing on the cake, for what you put in, into that journey. And I think people, you know, people like to see gold medals, so.
I wonder if you'd won the other medals first,
right,
and then the gold.
Right, yeah.
That would be easier and everything.
Yeah, I don't know.
So talk about your ultimate transition from being an Olympic athlete to returning. When and how, and how did that feel?
Yeah, so after 2002, I decided that was going to be the last, you know, last go around for me. Just the toll it takes on your body, and again, you know, making sacrifices. And I knew it was time to sort of close that chapter of my life of, you know, playing hockey and traveling around and being away, to then go on to, you know, get a job and be in the, what you call the real world, I guess, and to start that chapter. And it was great. I'm glad I was able to do it that way. And to be able to see that it was time for me to move on. I had the great experiences. I wouldn't give anything, to change those, I wouldn't take anything that I did back. But just to, okay, this is it. This chapter is done, and to move on to the next chapter, which was, you know, becoming a mature adult and getting a job, and then hopefully, you know, having a family one day. So that was that became my focus. I still want to stay in good shape, which I still try to this day. You know, I keep myself in shape and keep up with my kids.
How do you keep in shape?
I enjoy running, going to, you know, workout classes, you know, making it more social. I like the running by myself usually, but then to attend some workout classes with some friends, to get the social piece and see other people. it's good, but yeah, so that's sort of where that, you know, like I said, 02 is where the career ended. And then, you know, just looking, you know, getting into the job, what I always wanted to do is become an athletic director. And so that dream came true as well, where I've been an assistant athletic director for the last 12 years. So being able to be around athletics and to give back, you know, for me to give back what I learned and experiences that I had to be able to, you know, help, you know, young girls and boys, you know, feel like they have something to give and they can set goals and achieve, you know, strive to achieve their goals. So that was my main priority. So that's why I ended up coaching, coaching the ice hockey primarily. But the other sports, you know, at Lawrence Academy, I coached the soccer and the golf as well. And I moved on to another school where I just coached hockey. So I coached hockey for 10 years at the high school level, which was great. At the time, I hadn't had children yet, so I could really put my heart and soul in giving back and, you know, letting the girls you know, run things by me and me give them feedback, whether it would be, you know, on ice stuff or helping them, you know, find a college to attend, to continue their playing. So those are the things I really enjoyed. And then that chapter closed with the coaching. And then I had my children, and so my focus now is on them. So I look at it as I've had some chapters. So this is like the third chapter. to, you know, expose my kids to as many things I can expose them to, whether it be sports or arts or the music. That's what I've been trying to do the last few years.
Arts and music too?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, I'm trying to get my daughter to play the guitar.
Why?
She hasn't. I don't know. I just think to be well-rounded and to, you know, do some different things is great.
Play?
I don't. I do not play. Which I kind of wish I picked up the guitar. I like the guitar.
Not too
but,
late.
Yeah, I know.
What do you think she would get from adding an instrument, adding the guitar?
You know, I think sports can be, you know, the competitiveness and the amount of sports that kids do nowadays, is a lot. And I think it's a huge commitment. Even, you know, it's changed considerably since I was growing up playing sports. A lot of sports are year round, a couple times a week. It forces kids to sometimes choose which sport they're going to play at a young age, which I'm not always in agreement with. I think kids need to play all different sports, but then to have some downtime to do, you know, maybe some like quiet time to sing or, like I said, play the guitar, sit and do some art, I think is important. I think it's important to have that balance where you're go, 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 competitive, but then to be able to just to sit back and relax and do something different.
Downtime.
Not a lot of it, but
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so counter to, as you say, this push for schedule, which often translates to sports,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm struggling to keep up with it, to be honest with you. Because it wasn't anything I ever experienced, the way the kids are playing sport. It's a lot higher level, I think. But they're also, you know, playing sport year-round, which I never did. I always had the three seasons, the fall, winter, and spring, which I feel helped me as an athlete become the athlete that I was because of playing different things and using different muscles and seeing games that may be similar, but, you know, using a different object, a puck, a ball, a stick, you know, as opposed to your feet or your feet, you know, just being able to use those different muscles and see games from different perspectives, I think really helps to be an overall athlete. So I'm trying to do that with my kids, is to sort of keep them as much as I can season to season. It's hard. It's difficult.
Season to season
in terms of, you know, playing a sport in a season and then dropping it and then going to the next season and playing a different sport. I think that's important. You know, for overall development, especially for a young child.
Were you saying they're more scheduled than you were then?
Oh yeah. Yeah, a lot more schedules, a lot more traveling at a younger age. And, you know, like I said, the sports going all three seasons. One sport will be, you know, you just play every season. And then you're trying to fit in other sports, and it just, the schedules just don't sometimes match up, which forces kids to have to quit one sport at a real young age. Which I'm not a big fan of.
So it's building professionalism mm. so young, like mm-hmm. you say, lacking mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. balance of arts and
yeah.
downtime, creative time,
yep.
quiet time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yet, you're as experienced as they come,
right?
And you're a parent. So what a challenge to try to have some control over that.
It is. It's been a real challenge in terms of friends are doing this and friends are doing that. And, you know, wondering is your child going to be better because they played, you know, all year round, or they played four times a week as opposed to two. So it's challenging, but I sort of put my blinders on and do what I think is best for my kids.
That's great. Yeah. And you're still working as well?
I still work. I actually am back in town at Concord Academy. I took a job there last year, so that was really exciting to get back to Concord and to work, you know, a mile and a half from my house has really been great. It's like I said, being able to walk downtown for lunch and still experience the town, you know, every day as opposed to just a couple times during the week, and just to be here and to be with the community and to be at a great school such as Concord Academy, I feel very lucky.
Great. Yeah. And what are your goals for that position, or goals for you know, art?
Just to, you know, Concord's always been a school with, you know, very high academic and very high arts, and very, you know, good athletics. It's one of those things where I think we want to try to have a little bit more of a balance, in terms of, you know, sort of building up that athletic piece. Again, the arts and the athletics, I think is important, and to be able to have those two things on an equal playing field, I think is going to be a great thing, especially at a school such as Concord Academy.
Where you're working with girls and boys.
Yep, girls and boys, you know, coaches and the community, and, you know, just getting people more excited about athletics. And to, you know, athletics has a component to it where I don't think people sort of know like we talked about the common goal and being able to work with others to reach that goal, I think is a really important life lesson. I think when people, you know, join a team and then look back years later, I think that's one of the things that they take away from their team experience, is that the fun of being with others and working together, I think is, you know, like I said, something that I took away from being on a team, but I think others do as well.
Fun and translatable to succeeding in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just learning you succeed and you fail, and learning the failure part, you know, not only as an individual, but how to learn to fail as a team as well. And then it's not, you know, one person's fault or, you know, three people's, you know, it's a team that wins and fails together. I think it's an important life lesson.
Survive that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. This has been wonderful.
Can I hear about the most memorable game you ever played?
Well, you're probably not surprised, but obviously the most memorable game was the gold medal game. We played against Canada, Team Canada, and we had played them, I believe it was 10 times previous, and we had won 5 games and they had won 5 games. And so this was the the one to see who obviously was the better of the two teams. And it was just an amazing game, back and forth. It ended up in a score of 3-1, where we obviously took the victory. But it was just a really, you know, obviously being a gold medal game, it's emotional, it's exciting. But there was no other game like it. It was, you're on your toes. There was penalties at the end of the game. There was
penalties.
Yeah. So somebody did something that they weren't supposed to. It was against the rules. They go to the penalty box and they play down. They play a man short or a woman short, or player short. And it's a time where the other team can really capitalize and hopefully, you know, score another goal. So there was a lot of that during the game. It was a really rough game. We've always played rough games with them, pretty physical. And, you know, it felt like it lasted forever, especially when we were winning 2-1 until the very end of the game. And, you know, just to be able to come out on top and to – it was the relief of, you know, like I said before, of all the traveling and all the training and all the sacrifices. It was like, that's it. It was like the end of the story. And then, obviously, you know, receiving the gold medal, I think, you know, that was one of the – besides the game, the highlight, obviously, of that game was experiencing that and having the gold medal put around your neck. People ask, you know, well, how does that feel? And it's one of those things that you really can't describe. It's the end of the sacrifice and to the hard work and the fun and, you know, the team that you finally reached that common goal.
I know you, when you're playing on a team like that, you probably don't even think of yourself as an individual, but somebody made those 3 points. Who do you remember who scored?
That's funny. Yeah. I do remember who scored. Gretchen Julian, who's from the North Shore, scored. And then Shelly Looney, who was my line mate, scored. She's from Michigan. And then at the very end of the game, Team Canada pulled their goalie to get an extra skater on the rink. And we ended up scoring. That's a typical thing you do in hockey. And Sandra White, who's from Saugus, Massachusetts, scored that goal. That one sealed the deal. But yeah, it's funny because you say, you know, you don't look at an individual. Like, no, I'm not one of those people who remembers that stuff. Like, I remember we won. I can remember the score. But a lot of the, like, really detailed stuff about who scored, a lot of times people laugh because, like, you don't know who scored, you know, different games. Like, you don't remember who scored. I'm like, no. I don't. Like, it was really a team effort. And your mind sort of is trained to, you know, from the time you start as a team, you know, training for those 9 months, your mind becomes a team and not, you know, thinking about those individual, you know, who scored and who did what. It's really
interesting. Well, as a forward, you were undoubtedly often in a position to set up a mm-hmm. score rather mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. scoring yourself. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, setting up plays and scoring, yeah, that was all, you know, all part of it. And it's funny because people are, oh, how many points did you get or how many did you go? And honestly, I couldn't even tell you because I don't really remember.
The setups are just as important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. To me, as a player, I felt much better setting up the goals than I did actually scoring them. For some reason, it just, I don't know, something about it was really, I don't know, special. It was a different feeling than from scoring the goal.
Really?
It was, yeah. Yeah, very interesting. I don't know. It was just, I don't even know if I can even describe it. But it was fun to do that. It was fun to, you didn't always get the recognition. Usually the goal scorer gets the recognition. But a lot happens before that, before that goal. So maybe that's why I enjoyed that.
But you've talked from the beginning about your love of teamwork. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that seems consistent with, that seems like part of your pattern.
Yeah.
Wanting to see the play set up the success rather than
right.
Being the flag waver
yes.
yourself.
And I think I said that talking about being humble and not, I don't like to be in the spotlight. I never have. And so I think that is true. And maybe that's why, you know, just not getting, not, people don't always see the play or who set up or the last pass before the goal. And so I think that, I guess that goes towards my personality.
Well, just because you're humble doesn't mean you're not competitive.
Oh, right. Oh, no. Oh,
and,
no. Like I
and
said,
even
I
aggressive.
Right. I wholeheartedly have those two, the aggressive and the competitiveness. But I don't think I show it until I get, you know, into a situation such as playing hockey or another sport. That's where it really came out.
What about as being a parent on the sidelines?
It's funny you say that because I have learned, I think, from obviously being a player myself, then being a coach. I try not to say much. Especially on the car rides home, I try not to say much. And just let my, you know, obviously my son hasn't started playing the team sport competitive yet, but with my daughter, I try to just let it go and maybe talk to her at, you know, the next day or later that day if there was something that, you know, a critique that I have. But I try to limit it. I really do.
Okay.
I'm not a, you know, rah-rah, yell, scream parent from the sidelines. I don't. That's just not my personality.
That can be hard on a community, all that aggression from the sidelines.
Yeah. I don't want any attention. I don't want people looking at me because I'm yelling. But that's my personality. I think, as you said, that sort of runs through sort of our conversation here is that to be sort of behind the scene. I think it's true in my job as well. I'm an assistant athletic director. So I do a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff that sort of goes, you know, sometimes goes unnoticed, but I like that.
It makes it happen.
Right.
You like that?
But I like that, yeah. But it makes it happen, correct. Yeah.
So in a sense, your model for putting the sport before the individual or even team success and
mm-hmm.
the competition and the anger that can go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Yeah, I think through any sport, you just, I guess people are different in that respect, but to look at that and then for me, it was the sport that I love and then, you know, the team that I was on, the friends that I made, and then myself. And I think everybody's different in terms of, you know, how they see those pieces fitting into their life, how they prioritize them. Yeah.
And you've had a chance to bond with women the way... Few women do too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I said, all different ages and all different backgrounds, and you know, it was great just to meet people from different. You know, at a young age, I was 20 when I first started. You know, in this whole National Olympic or 19 when I started in the whole really being on that sort of, you know, here's our one common goal type of team. And, you know, all different states, all different, like I said, backgrounds was really special to be part of.
Really taught you or encouraged your tendencies toward support,
mm-hmm.
compassion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, most definitely.
Focus.
Yep.
Well, this has been really great.
Really, yes,
really
thank you. Yeah.
In ways that I couldn't have imagined.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere else anyone wants to go? Thank you so much.
Thank you.